is a prayer of someone who's innocent and being unjustly accused. We've had a bit of that. He's appealing to the highest court, which is the court of God, confident that God, who is his only chance of justice, will vindicate him, and God will see that his accusers don't escape the consequences of their behaviour. Once we realise that God is love and so does not control our response, we see that the problem is one of faith. Injustice may well triumph in the short term. Jesus may well get crucified, you know. People might be martyred. You might spend your life in prison when you're actually innocent of the crime. People do. So injustice may not happen. Not because God isn't inspiring everyone to bring about justice, but because the magistrate isn't listening, because the lawyers have vested interests in your getting condemned, or it could be any amount of reason, because someone out there who knows will not come forward with the evidence because they might have to pay the price of it, so they'll remain silent. You know, there's all this happening, and so that's the real world we're in. The psalmist wouldn't see it that way, but that's how I see it, and I assume you agree with me. That's how the world seems to work. So if people don't choose to welcome God's grace and respond to it, injustice may happen in the short term, but our faith has to go beyond death. We have to see the resurrection of Jesus as the triumph of grace, not his crucifixion, but his resurrection, because he loved through it. So let's have a look at Psalm 7 then. And it starts, Yahweh my God, in you I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers. Rescue me, or they will tear me to pieces like a lion and drag me off with no one to rescue me. There were lions, as you probably know, along the Jordan River. That was very thick with vegetation and so on. There were lions there, the Lion of Judah. You've heard about. So he's seen this happen, and it's a good image. Yahweh my God, here it is. If I have done this, what I'm accused of, if there's crime on my hand, repaid with harm the one who has come to me in peace, or taken advantage of one who's attacked me without cause, taken advantage, in other words, if I've done something wrong, well, okay, let the enemy pursue and overtake me. Let them trample my life to the ground. Let them lay my entrails in the dust. So he's quite sure of his innocence, this bloke. And he's of course saying, I haven't done that. So why is this happening? Come to my defense. Rescue me. I'm reminded by that of Jesus in the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verse 23, where it says, Peter says, when Jesus was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. I think a pretty perfect example of what we're reading in those early parts of the psalm. The text goes on in verse 6. Rise up, Yahweh. His enemies are rising up to accuse him, and he wants Yahweh to rise up. Rise up in your anger. In other words, passionately and with your power and love. And stir yourself against the fury of my enemies. Awake, O my God. Pronounce in my favor in the judgment to which I am summoned. An assembly of nations gathers around you. Take your seat above them on high. Yahweh is the judge of the nations. Well, this little magistrate here who's probably taken money, you know, I'm getting back to accuse me. God, I'm calling on you, and you're the judge of the whole blooming world. So you're on my side. I'm innocent. So you come and organize things. That's the prayer. Reasonable prayer. Hope he was answered in the way he wanted. He would have been answered. But what about if people aren't listening to the answer? What about if all's God's grace that's coming in to bring love about What about if Pilate doesn't listen to his wife's dream? And what about if the high priest doesn't listen to his conscience? What about, well, then maybe the evil will go on. And it does. Not because God's at fault, but because God loves the world and doesn't control it. But that's not the mentality of our psalmist, anyhow. He's praying, it's a good prayer. Give judgment in my favour, Yahweh, in accordance with justice, for I am innocent. Put an end to the evil of the wicked. Defend the just, you who test, try, probe the hearts and feelings, O just God. I didn't know how to translate kidneys there. So I've put feelings, hoping, and of course I'll explain it, but hoping that you understand that I'm talking about those irrational feelings of even our subconscious drives and things. So that's what I'm distinguishing between heart and feelings, which technically is heart and kidneys. Now I'll let you do the rest. If you can think of one word to capture all that, tell me and I'll put it in there. A little bit of a comparison to that, not at your psalm, but a comment, is from Psalm 26, verses 1 to 3, which reads, "Vindicate me, Yahweh, for I have walked in my integrity. I've trusted in Yahweh without wavering. Prove me, Yahweh. Try me. Test my feelings and my heart," my kidneys and my heart, "for your kindness is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you." That's Psalm 26 saying pretty well the same thing. Verse 10. "My shield is a God who saves the upright of heart. God pronounces a judgment that is just. God who gives a verdict of condemnation every day." God is always working for justice in the world, is what he's saying. So, how about now? He says, for me. And I just got a couple more texts that say this, use the same imagery. One is Jeremiah chapter 17, if you want it, verse 10. "I, Yahweh, test the heart and search the feelings, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings, according to what they actually do." And here, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2 reads, "All deeds are right in the sight of the doer, but Yahweh weighs the heart." We're all pretty good at defending what we've done. I think it was a good thing to do. But Yahweh tests the heart. Verse 12 of our psalm. "If they do not change their ways," and now this is what he's hoping for, "God will whet his sword," sharpen it on the stone, ready to use it. "God will bend his bow straight to the target. God is preparing for them his deadly weapons, arrows barbed with fire." That's all part of the war at the time, you know that. "Look at them," he says. This is a Butte line. "They conceive evil, they're pregnant with malice, and they give birth to lies." If you can't get the imagery there, I don't know what you've been doing with your life. So they conceive evil, pregnant with malice, and give birth to lies. Lies, not just telling lies of accusation which put a man's life at risk. Because, the court's in the morning and you may well be, they're not going to wait, you might be killed because you've been accused of whatever the law would say capital punishment should be for, and you haven't done it. Interestingly, I find interesting, James in his letter in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 15, uses the same imagery pretty well. I'll read it to you. That's chapter 1, verse 15. He says, "When evil desire has conceived, it is sin that it bears, and when sin has reached full term, it gives birth to death." Now, obviously, similar imagery, obvious imagery, but there it is. Verse 15, and we conclude, the last few verses remind us that suffering, punishment, is actually self-inflicted ultimately. They never denied that. They looked at their world at two levels, and sometimes the levels didn't come together. They knew about cause and effect, and they knew that if what I do has bad effects. They're obvious, everyone sees that. They also looked at the world at the other level and looked into the realm of God. And when they looked into the realm of God, they did it as best they could, and with a lot of insight and a lot of inspired truth, but nothing like the inspired insight that you get from Jesus, who knows God like none of the psalmists did. So here we go to the obvious point. Verse 15, they made a pit, dug it deep, and fell into the hole they made. They suffered the consequences of their own. Their wicked deeds recoil upon themselves. Their cruel blows fall on their own heads. You can't do evil and get away with it. It has its effects, and you can't pretend them away. But I, he concludes, will celebrate the justice of Yahweh. I will sing out in praise the name Yahweh, the Most High. And praise Yahweh is Hallel. Hallelu is we praise Yah. Yah is Yahweh. Hallelujah, that's where we get Hallelujah from. Hallel is praise. Hallelu is we praise. Hallelujah is we praise Yahweh. So when they're singing praise of the name Yahweh, he's obviously saying we're going to shout Alleluia to this wonderful God who, and I don't know what happened in the psalm, eventually maybe the man died. I presume he did. But he was convinced of something beautiful, that God does care about the poor and God does care for justice.